Episode 10, The Non-Hannah. Dear Ambrose, okay, so don't get mad at me. Something may or may not have happened to your sister. Don't worry, she's fine now, everything's good, no lasting injuries. But the things that happened today were certainly interesting. I don't want you to freak out, alright? What matters is no one got hurt. Well, maybe like one person, and that person could have been Hannah, because salt stings your eyes, and I don't know if inhaling it can cause brain damage, but it was mostly no one. Hannah's fine. She just endured something that may or may not have scrambled her brains a bit. Goodness, I'm not helping at all right now, am I? It started this morning. Earlier today, me and Samuel went over to her dorm to give her banana chocolate cupcakes. Samuel's starting to get really invested in baking, but he doesn't have thumbs, so it takes him forever to finish a recipe. And because he doesn't have thumbs, fingers, or real hands, all of his recipes usually end up terrible. The cupcakes he made were so bad that no amount of frosting could make them taste good. But I wasn't going to be the one to discourage Samuel, because him baking keeps him distracted from bothering me 24/7. So we went to Hannah's dorm to give her the cupcakes, and she was just coming out of the building. I could tell something was off the moment I saw her. The way she walked was different. She kept looking nervously from side to side, and the look in her eyes was weird. Like, it didn't look like Hannah's eyes. It's like if you took somebody else's eyes and stuck them in Hannah's sockets. We walked up to her and asked how she was doing, and she jumped, visibly surprised. She looked at me, and pure hatred flashed across her face, which shocked me, because what did I do? Then it disappeared, and she put on a painfully forced smile and said, "Oh, hello, talking cat." That was really, well, weird. I asked Hannah if she was okay. Hannah nodded her head and smiled that visibly strained smile. "Oh yes, oh, of course, yes, I am perfectly fine," she said. "It's good to see you, talking cat. I will be walking away now. I will see you later, and we can do what acquaintances do, which is playing cards." Hannah gave a thumbs up and quickly left. Hannah was acting really strange, like really strange. Samuel and I followed Hannah to see what she was up to. As we watched her, we noticed that she was really not acting like herself. She kept walking with a sort of swagger, her hand stopped fidgeting like normal, she scowled all the time, and she literally said, "That's so hip," to someone on the street. Like, Hannah never says hip. No one should say hip, it's such a weird term. And yet, Hannah used it. After observing Hannah's erratic behavior, the first theory that came to my mind was that, well, maybe Hannah had an alter ego? And then, boom, the connection. Gray had been paranoid about Hannah since day one, and he always thought that she had an alter ego or something, a separate identity. Could he possibly have been right all along? To admit that Gray was right was something I thought I would never do, but at that moment, his alter ego theory seemed perfectly plausible. I needed to know for sure, so I had Hannah come with me to the hospital to see Gray. Every second I spent with her, I became more and more sure that this wasn't Hannah. When I called out her name, she didn't even flinch. I had to tug on her pant leg to get her attention. She jumped, saw that it was me, and put on her phony smile again. "Oh, it's you again, my talking cat friend," she said. "Do you need something?" I asked if she wanted to go to the hospital to visit Gray, and she replied, "Yes, sure, of course, because Gray is another one of my friends, right?" I nodded. When we walked to the hospital, it started to rain just a little. The rain had a faint taste of peppermint, and it was a bit of a teal color. Normally, Hannah would have made a joke about the rain, about it being drugs or poison or something like that, and we'd all laugh. But this time, she just walked without a single comment. Samuel offered her a cupcake, though it was getting a bit soggy from the rain, and Hannah grimaced visibly. At the hospital, we went inside Gray's room, where he was playing with the Rubik's Cube. He looked up and greeted us, and he too noticed something very off about Hannah. Gray said hi to Hannah. Hannah said hello back. Gray stared at her, and I could tell he was also catching the very visible non-Hannah mannerisms. "So, Hannah," Gray said, "today's board game night at my dorm. Maybe you should be getting some snacks from the vending machine so we can all eat them later." We all knew that there was no such thing as board game night, and that, furthermore, Gray was going to be stuck in the hospital for a few more days, so we couldn't have this so-called board game night at his place. But the non-Hannah didn't know that. "Yes, how could I forget?" non-Hannah said. "I will go get snacks from the vending machine now. I will be right back. And then we will talk about the board games we will play tonight. Ha, ha." Non-Hannah walked out of the hospital room. Gray turned to me and Samuel. "Okay, idiots, what's going on here?" he said. "Who is that person, and what did they do to the real Hannah?" I explained to Gray that Hannah had been acting weird all morning, and that I brought her here because I thought that maybe she actually did have an alter ego, like Gray said. "I think you're right," I said. "I think Hannah does have an alter ego, or maybe she is the alter ego. Whatever you said about her being or having an alter ego, you're right." Gray shook his head. "I don't think so." Which was confusing because I thought Gray would be totally on board with this whole alter ego idea. I mean, it was his idea since day one. "Listen," he said, "if that person was an alter ego, then isn't it weird that they're pretending to be Hannah? It feels less like Hannah's acting like another person. It's more like another person is trying to act like Hannah. Like someone is wearing a Hannah skin suit." Samuel shrieked. "Someone's wearing Hannah's skin suit!" He flapped his wings hysterically. "Someone's wearing Hannah's skin! They're coming for us next! I don't want to be skinned! I have so much to live for!" I slapped him in the face. I asked Gray if we were absolutely sure that we weren't dealing with an alter ego here, and Gray said he was sure. There seemed to be another reason for how he knew, but he didn't say it to us. Gray and I ruled out the alter ego possibility, and we talked a bit about other possibilities. Aliens swapped out Hannah with a fake Hannah while she was sleeping, she switched bodies with someone, etc. Samuel just kept trembling and mumbling incoherently about skin-snatching demons. When the non-Hannah returned, we all switched to talking very enthusiastically about board games, to avoid suspicion. "I have brought chips," non-Hannah said, referring to the single bag of chips in her hand. "Because that is what I do. Because I am totally whoever you guys think I am." She smiled in a very non-Hannah way. We all nodded and gave her a thumbs up, pretending to be totally convinced. With Gray's help, we ruled out the alter ego idea, but there were still dozens of possibilities of what had happened to Hannah. Samuel and I followed her around town, taking careful note of every little thing she did. In the course of 1 hour, non-Hannah almost burned down a pharmacy, threatened to drown a squirrel just for fun, harassed 5 innocent passerby, and bought a pack of cigarettes. That last thing was a big red flag. Smoking is something the real Hannah would never do, because she absolutely detests drugs. In fact, her college essay was literally about how drugs were the worst. She coughed violently when she inhaled the cigarette smoke, and she grumbled, "Should have chosen a better body. This girl must have never smoked once in her life." Hearing that, I came up with the genius theory that an alien or a parasite from another planet had taken Hannah's body. Samuel, on the other hand, came up with the theory that Hannah was possessed by a ghost or a demon. I told him he was being stupid, because being possessed by a ghost or a demon is such an overdone idea, and it was highly unlikely that there were even evil spirits in Silver Hollow to possess people. As we stalked Hannah some more, we ended up running into Danny Rickaby. You know, that guy with the stupid accent and the fedora, who works in a nefarious secret society that you might also be involved in. He was wearing a pinstripe suit and was walking through the street humming some annoying jazzy tune. He saw us and came over to us, greeted us, asked us how we were doing, blah blah, etc. Immediately, Samuel started to blubber about how Hannah was possessed by a ghost or demon or some other evil spirit. He pointed to non-Hannah, who was trying to smoke a cigarette but failing because obviously she wasn't used to it. Samuel, being dramatic, fell to his knees and wailed about how his skin was going to be snatched. Danny raised an eyebrow. Instead of making fun of Samuel for saying such nonsense, which was what I would have done, he asked us to explain. I told him about how funny Hannah had been acting all day, about how different her mannerisms were, her saying the word hip, and her smoking a cigarette. Danny asked if we were sure that she wasn't just going through like a mood swing or a phase or something like that, and we said we were sure, because the Hannah we know would never act like this. Danny cracked a toothy grin. Well, he said, only one way to know for sure. Samuel and I watched as he marched up to non-Hannah and tapped her on the shoulder. She quickly hit her cigarette and asked Danny what he wanted. Danny rummaged through his pocket and pulled out a handful of something, then, without warning, threw it at non-Hannah. We heard the sound of flesh sizzling, and non-Hannah screamed. She bolted, and we caught a glimpse of red marks all over her skin. Danny came back over to us, smiling very nonchalantly. "Yup, you're right," he said. "She's possessed by a ghost." I was, well, shocked. I asked how he knew. "I threw salt at her," Danny explained. He pulled out another handful of salt from his pocket. For some reason, demons are really scared of salt. I did not ask why he carried a bunch of salt in his pocket, even though I really wanted to. "How are you sure salt scares demons?" Samuel asked. Danny replied, "Because believe it or not, I actually did some exorcism back in the day. I know a lot about demons and evil spirits and whatnot." I was dumbfounded, and for two reasons. One, because Danny very conveniently knew a lot about demons and exorcism, therefore solving our problem with non-Hannah. And two, because non-Hannah was actually possessed by a ghost, meaning that Samuel was right. So not only did I have to admit that Gray might have been right, but now I had to admit that Samuel was right. Samuel. My day could not get any worse. But yeah, Hannah was possessed. I'm really sorry that happened. Danny said that he would do an exorcism for us, but that he also wanted something in return. He wasn't sure what he wanted yet, but he said that he would figure it out later. For now, he was willing to perform an exorcism on Hannah, if we wanted. And of course, we said yes, because we really wanted to free Hannah from whatever demon ghost thing was possessing her. Late in the afternoon, Samuel and I told non-Hannah that we needed her help with something. "We can't reach our favorite board game off the top shelf," Samuel lied, and he lied really badly. Hannah rolled her eyes momentarily, then remembered that she needed to pretend to be the real Hannah, and quickly put on a smile, gave us a thumbs up, and said, "Yes, of course, whatever you need, my sentient animal friends." We led her to the Cloverwood Speakeasy, and non-Hannah was a bit suspicious. We explained that our board game was inside the speakeasy and that she just needed to get it for us, and then we would never bother her again. Non-Hannah reluctantly complied and followed us into the speakeasy. It was pretty much empty except for the little jazz band playing in the corner. We led Non-Hannah down a hallway, telling her that the board game was just a couple of paces away. Then, when Non-Hannah wasn't looking, Danny sprung up behind her and put her in a giant potato sack. Non-Hannah screamed and kicked, trying to wriggle free, cursing in a very non-Hannah-like manner. Well, you know, Hannah curses a lot, but this was a different kind of cursing, if you know what I mean. We carried her down a secret flight of stairs, deeper underground, until we reached a giant basement. It looked like your typical horror movie basement. There was a single flickering light bulb hanging from the ceiling, and the concrete floors were covered in dirt. We took the potato sack off Non-Hannah, tied her up with a bunch of rope, and strapped her to a chair. Well, Danny tied up Non-Hannah with rope. Again, Samuel and I don't have hands. As we took a step back and watched Non-Hannah as she screamed and struggled, I noticed that Danny was wearing a priest's robes. He held a crucifix in one hand and a Bible in the other. He still wore his fedora and shades, making his overall ensemble stranger than it already was. "It helps me get into the mood," Danny explained. Then he tossed the crucifix and the Bible to the side and pulled out an entire bucket of salt. "Step aside, kids," he told me and Samuel. "Let the professionals do the work." He cleared his throat and began chanting a bunch of jumbled phrases, throwing a bunch of salt at Non-Hannah rhythmically. The phrases didn't sound like they belonged in any specific language. It just sounded like a pile of gibberish. But it was clearly doing something to Non-Hannah. Samuel and I watched as red marks flared on her skin, and her screams turned more demonic. Like, screams turning demonic. It was like we were in The Conjuring. It was very painful to see Hannah being exorcised, but it was also kinda cool. If you were there, you would have thought that too. There was smoke coming from her eyes and mouth, and her voice changed so much that she sounded like a completely different person. And in fact, that voice did actually belong to another person. As Danny continued chanting nonsense and throwing the occasional fistful of salt at Non-Hannah, we could hear the voice of the demon that had possessed her. "Blah, blah, blah, eternal torment, blah, 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 I will curse you for all eternity, blah, blah." At first, it was nothing but cliche ghost things. They were so cliche, even Samuel managed to roll his eyes. Samuel. Then Non-Hannah whipped her head around and stared directly at me, which was really scary. And then suddenly the demon, it started saying things that weren't just generic curse stuff. It was something different, and I can't forget it. "I know what you did. I saw you. You helped him bury me. You buried me alive. You think I forgot about you? I never did. You and Ambrose." The demon continued to say weird, incoherent nonsense after that as it slowly left Hannah's body. I don't remember anything else it said. Obviously, the demon was just spouting nonsense because I do not remember burying someone alive. I would never do that. Hello, I'm an angel. That demon was probably mistaking me for some other heavenly being in a cat meat suit. But then there's you, Ambrose. And there's that whole matter of Ophelia the Ghost Girl talking about how you killed someone and buried him next to Fairmeadow High School. And maybe I'm overthinking for sort of wondering if maybe that demon that possessed Hannah was actually the person you killed. I mean, for all I know, that demon could have simply mistaken me and you for some other people. Maybe it said Amber or something like that instead of Ambrose. Most of the demon's speech was garbled anyway, so it was easy to mishear things. I'm sorry. It's confusing. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if you killed someone, if maybe I accidentally buried someone without me even knowing, though that doesn't make sense at all, if that demon is lying or whatever. It's very confusing. I can't think straight. Goodness. Oh, and then Danny threw the rest of the entire bucket of salt on top of Hannah, burying her in a mountain of sodium, and the demon fully left her body. She was possessed no more. Hannah remained passed out under the salt mountain for a bit. She woke up after a couple of seconds. She spent many of the first few minutes of her return to Earth screaming because salt got in her eyes, mouth, nose, and everywhere. Danny laughed, saying that this was the funniest part about the exorcism and the only real reason why he chose to do exorcism in the first place. We cleaned Hannah up, and then she was okay. She was back to her normal Hannah self. Samuel double-checked by asking her what she thought of board game night, and Hannah replied, "What the hell is board game night?" Samuel, satisfied with that answer and very glad that Hannah was no longer a skin-snatching demon, handed her the cupcake that he had been carrying all day, which was now soggy and really gross-looking. But Hannah was polite, so she ate the cupcake, and then she threw up. We walked Hannah home, thanked Danny for his strange salt exorcism, and we parted ways. Hannah's safe, everyone's safe, no one's hurt. There, all good. Though I think Hannah's blood pressure spiked from all that salt she accidentally consumed today. And it went up her nose, probably went to her brain, which might have been fried a bit after all that demon possession, but other than that, she's fine. She's acting normal, so I assume she's doing okay. I wish I knew how that demon managed to possess Hannah. I wish I knew what it meant. It said that I helped you bury a body, but I don't remember doing anything of the sort. But there is a lot of evidence against you, Ambrose. First, your secret involvement in the Cloverwood Society, then Ophelia saying that you murdered someone, and then that demon that possessed Hannah, who basically confirmed what Ophelia said. You killed someone, or buried someone. At least that's what it looks like right now. I don't know how I would possibly have been involved in burying someone. I think that part was a mistake. I know for sure that I would never kill someone, even if it was for my friends. Like, I don't remember doing anything, like burying an entire person. Again, I'm an angel. I would never do that. I just wish you would tell me what happened. If you killed someone, or buried someone alive, whatever, you can always talk to me. I promise, I won't judge. I won't call the cops. But things aren't looking so great for you right now, Ambrose, and I need you to tell me what's going on. Everything's so confusing. I think I need to lie down for a bit. I'll talk to you soon. Sincerely, Willis. Sleepy Silver Hollow is a production of Crowned Crow's Corner. Episodes are written and produced by August Kress. Cover art is by August Kress. New episodes are released bi-weekly on Saturdays. For more information, visit our website, crownedcrowscorner.com. Thanks for listening.